2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 19 and 21, dealing with the authority of the Word of God. The authority of the Word of God, 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 19 through 21. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And there we end the reading this morning of God's holy word. Some years ago, when my second son graduated from a local Christian college, as a graduation gift by the college, he was given a Bible. As I looked at the Bible he was given, I was upset. But in view of the joyous occasion, I didn't say anything about it, delaying my thoughts until years later. Now you may ask, you may wonder, why would a preacher be upset with the gift of a Bible by a Christian college to his son who had just graduated from that college? The reason why I was upset was because of the title on the front of the Bible, which said, "The Student's Bible," or something like "The College Student's Bible," "The Young Man's Bible." And my first reaction to that was, "What? There's only one Bible for everyone, regardless of your age, regardless of whether you graduated from college or didn't graduate from college. There's only one Bible, the Holy Bible. And this name seems to imply that this particular Bible is only for students who graduated from college." There aren't specific Bibles for different types of people, for different strata of society. That's nothing but a marketing technique to peddle the Word of God. See why I was upset? But I didn't say a thing to my son, because it was a happy day. And I wasn't going to ruin him for him by saying, "Son, what is this business about a student Bible?" And I think now he knows, after several years of letting him study the issue, he himself would agree with me. And I think it's almost a shame that he has a Bible called the Student's Bible. That's nothing but a marketing technique to sell Bibles. The more specialized Bibles you can publish, the more you can sell, the more money you make. You make people in an age group feel special. We all want to feel special. And so when there's a Bible for me and my age group or my gender, I feel special, and that's the Bible I want to buy. I may have three or four Bibles, but I want to buy that Bible because it's for people 50 plus. You see, I want that Bible. Today we have Bibles for everybody. We have children's Bibles. We have women's Bible. We have, I'm not sure, there may be a rainbow Bible. Geriatrics Bible. Black man's Bible. White man's Bible. Bible for women who are going through the change of life. You know, I mean, Bibles for everything. On everybody. I thought there was only one Bible. I remember as a child when we had Bibles in the pew of our church, it said one thing, it said two words on it, Holy Bible. It all said. There's only one Bible for all people, all classes, all ages, all races. That's what upset me. And the only reason we have Bibles for everybody in every class is because somebody's trying to make a lot of money. And this is not my topic today, but it's something like children's church. Children's church? Children's church? You want to upset the preacher? Talk about children's church. What do you mean children's church? There's only one church. And the children are part of that one church. And we have a nursery. If your children are too young, you can take them there and put them in the nursery. And they can't listen to the preacher or understand the preacher. We understand that. But as your children grow up, as they grow older, we expect them to be right there with you in church with their mother and their father sitting with them. And we don't send them away to some children's church for a little Bible study. They are to be part of God's church and the assembly of God's people. They are part of God's people. Why not have a teenage church, a children's church, and a Social Security church? There's not many churches for many types of people in the church. There's one church. That's why when people talk about children's church, I get upset. But sometimes I don't take away the joy of the occasion. I don't say anything until the appropriate time. What do you mean dividing God's covenant people into different groups and sending them off into different directions after they worship separately? That's not biblical. I grant you, as long as I'm here and I have a vote on the session, there'll never be a children's church in this church. There's only one church. You don't need to buy those Bibles that make you feel special. Another issue that bothers me is Bibles with people's names in front of them. Scofield Bible, the Ryrie Study Bible, the King James Bible. Wouldn't it be nice if we just had the Holy Bible and we didn't have people's names attached to that Bible? And sometimes I'm afraid these Bibles, with all their notes, become more authoritative than the Bible. Maybe we ought to have a commentary on the Bible. I'm not against study Bibles. I own one myself. I've got the Reformation Bible. Don't get me wrong, but maybe we ought to call them a commentary on the Bible. Or notes with the Bible attached. Rather than Scofield or Ryrie's Bible or somebody else. We don't need a name in front of a Bible. We don't need King James' name in front of a Bible. And that's one area where I believe our forefathers made a major mistake. What do you mean dedicating the Bible to King James, who didn't even care much about the church anyway? Wouldn't it have been better if they would have dedicated it to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than dedicating it to King James of England? We call it the King James Bible. It's not the King James Bible. It's God's Bible. It's the Holy Scriptures, and it belongs to Jesus Christ. Why is it we have fallen into these arenas where we ought to be embarrassed? God forbid that we name Bibles after people. I wouldn't want a Bible named after me. It's a great mistake to dedicate this version of the Bible to the King. The only King worthy of having a Bible dedicated to Him is King Jesus. And we just fall into these patterns of thought that we need somebody to deliver us. This is not Schofield's Bible or Ryrie's Bible or Calvin's Bible. This is God's Bible. Preparing sermons, you know, I usually start out with a Bible that has no notes, no references, just want the Bible. And then I'll go to those books that have the commentaries and the notes in the Bibles, and I'll study those. When I stand up here, there's no notes. It's God's Word. That's all I want. I don't want somebody's name on the front of it. There's another issue that is prevalent in the church today. When these issues rise, it's the responsibility of the church to speak to them. It was mentioned to me by one of our members years ago in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was passed by the Supreme Court. Why did the church not speak to that issue? Do you remember any church, any preacher in 1973 that preached about the sin of abortion? No. Where were we? Dead. Happy. Being entertained. And not speaking to the issues and the sins of the day. We've got another issue today that is making its way through the churches in this country. And it's called today's New International Version of the Bible. And it makes me livid. And if I can be so bold, it makes me mad. We've got so many versions of the Bible today, you can't keep up with all of them. And that's another mistake we made over the years. You've got the New International Version, the King James Version, New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, the English Standard Version, on and on and on and on. I was raised on the King James Version. When seminary, I switched to the New American Standard Version, and I have been in trouble ever since. I can't quote anything because I can't remember which version I'm quoting from. Did more harm than good. If I had to do it over again, I'd go back and stay with one version all my life. Wouldn't it be nice if we had one version, English version, that was sanctioned by the church, guarded by the church, not by some independent international Bible society, and sold by some publishing company that's main goal is the bottom line to make money? Whoever gave them the right to control and protect the Bible and preserve the Bible? God gave the Bible to the church. And it should have been the church, in my opinion, that published it, protected it, preserved it, and sold it at cost. Not to make money. Wouldn't it be nice if we had a Bible that said the Holy Scriptures, translated, preserved by the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ?
God has caused much confusion. Not God, but man has caused much confusion in the church. The major issue with me today is that there is a new version called today's New International Version, the TNIV. Some of you use the NIV, the TNIV. That has gone way too far. Gone beyond what God would have these translations to say. It's supposed to be out shortly. I was on the internet last night looking at Zondervan, who publishes this, the New International, or the International Bible Society. I got their website. They say the TNIV, today's New International Version, is a thoroughly accurate, fully trustworthy Bible text built on the rich heritage of the New International Version. Don't you believe it? A new translation. My first thought is that's all we need is another translation. That's all we need is somebody else carrying a new kind of Bible. They have tampered with God's holy word, and they've gone beyond anyone's responsibility who has a Christian conscience, and they've tampered with God's holy word. You can ask anyone in conservative circles, James Dobson, D. James Kennedy, R. C. Sproul. Just ask them what their opinion is of this new translation. What is this new thing called TNIV? TNIV, today's New International Version. Let's first of all say translation. You see, the original Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew. It wasn't written in English. Some people are surprised at that, but God didn't choose English. He chose those who spoke Greek for the New Testament and Hebrew for the Old Testament. And our responsibility as the church is to see that the Bible is translated into all the languages of the world, to see that it is translated into the English language, to see that someone translates it so we can read it. Unless you want to go back to school and study Greek and Hebrew, which most of you don't want to do. I don't blame you. It's a difficult task. Most translations are done with the oversight of a group of trustworthy men. And we expect them to translate from the original language into the English language in such a way that we get the exact reading, as close as possible to the exact reading of the original language. That's their responsibility. But now, one of these groups, which we have so respected for so many years, has done so much for the church. I mean, we've got to give them credit. They've done such good work. All of a sudden, have taken liberty in the translations and are not translating it as it reads in the original language. Why? Pressure from the, especially from the feminist in America. Egalitarian movement in America, and so they can make a better profit because these books will sell in many churches in this area of various denominations. These books, these translations will sell well, and they will become part of the pews, the Bibles in your pews. Guarantee you that. It won't be much longer that you'll go into churches and you'll see the TNIV in these churches. You see, in the past, translators have always tried to translate as literally as possible. It except the Good News Bible. And all of you know about that one. It's called Good News Bible, paraphrased. At least they put on the front, they're honest. They say, look, this is not word, but word to word. This is not an exact translation. This is somebody's simply paraphrasing what they think it means. That's Good News Bible study, Good News Bible. We know that. The goal has always been to render a translation that represents the original text as closely as possible, regardless of whether you like it or not. God said it, we must translate it that way. And the reason for this is we believe that the Bible and the original autographs and the copies that we have today in the Greek and the Hebrew are God-breathed, inspired, and every letter and every word were written by God Himself through the medium of men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that's why I read the passage I read to you here this morning, where Peter talks about the Scripture. And he says, no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you interpret anything. The Holy Scripture was not made by act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit and who spoke from God. That's how he describes the Holy Scriptures. Paul says that all Scriptures have been inspired by God. God breathed is the word there. They've been breathed out of the very mouth of God. Jesus said, not one jot or tittle shall fall from the Word of God until all has been fulfilled. Every small stroke in the Word of God was put there by God. And how dare men tamper with the Word of God? What kind of age are we living in? And if you're not upset about it, then what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Every word is inspired by God. And the original language says he or she or it or man. That's exactly the way we must translate it into the English language. God wrote it that way for a reason. And translators must not take any liberty whatsoever with God's Word and substitute something else. And that's the problem with the TNIV. It takes the liberty with God's words, rewrites the Bible to be politically correct, religiously correct, and thus destroys God's Word to make it acceptable to modern man. Bible is supposed to change culture, not the culture change the Bible. What have we come to? How do they do this? Well, they say, take the word man. Man can be used in a generic sense to mean both men and women, and that's true. God died for man. That includes women as well. But God chose to use the word man. He didn't choose the word humanity. He didn't choose the word mankind. He didn't choose the words men and women. He chose to use the word man. In the original language, it reads man. God created man. Doesn't say God created man and women and children and animals and all of them. It just says God created man. That includes the women. We understand that. We know that. We don't have to add an additional word to tell us that. We're not that stupid. But there are those in our culture who say, well, now, you know, the word man is a rather male-dominated concept. White male dominance. And so God meant men and women, and so we ought to just change the words a little bit here. And so that's what they've done. For example, 1 Timothy 2:5, the original says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And they say, "Well, we shouldn't use the word man, Christ Jesus." And so the new translation reads, "There is one God and one mediator between God and human beings, Christ Jesus himself, human." That's not what it says. It's the man, Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2:6, quoting Psalm 8:4, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou carest for him." And so the translators have rewritten that and says, "What are mere mortals?" Now, that really sounds good, doesn't it? "What are mere mortals that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." Don't use the word man. White male dominance is the enemy of our society. And the church must conform to the religion of our culture. Hebrews 2:17, "Now for this reason, he," Jesus, that is, "had to be made like his brothers in every way." The new reading, "For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every way." In every way. The original doesn't say sisters. It only says brothers. But they've got to add brothers and sisters and you say, "Well, it includes women." Yes, it does. But God chose to use the word brothers, and that's the way we ought to translate it. And if you don't like it, you ought to change, and don't change God's word. We live in perilous times. We live in times when men treat holy things as common and common things as holy. And there's no fear of God in the land. May God have mercy upon us. May God save His word from this wicked generation. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we love Your word. We believe it to be the truth from the living God. O Lord, forgive those who tamper with the holy word of God. Help us to grow in wisdom in our own generation. Help us not to be influenced unknowingly by the sins of our day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.